SBS Radio.
I can report as returning officer that 359 ballots were cast, no spoiled ballots, that the vote in favour of having confidence in Boris Johnson as leader was 211 votes, and the vote against was 148 votes. And therefore, I can announce that the Parliamentary Party does have confidence.
Yeah. An eruption of applause for the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson as it became clear that he would survive a substantial rebellion against his leadership, winning a vote of confidence from his fellow Conservative MPs, but nonetheless left clinging to power. Of the 359 Conservatives who took part in the motion, 211 backed Mr. Johnson, meaning 148 voted against him, not a majority, but without doubt, a significant number. The rebellion represents deep Conservative divisions. Less than 3 years after Mr. Johnson led the party to its biggest election victory in decades, an undeniable shadow has been cast over his future as Prime Minister, his leadership irrevocably weakened by a string of scandals.
My friends, good morning, everybody. My friends, well, we did it. We did it. We pulled it off, didn't we? We pulled it off. We broke the deadlock. We ended the gridlock. We smashed the roadblock. And in this glorious, glorious pre-breakfast moment, before a new dawn rises on a new day and a new government, I of course want to congratulate absolutely everybody involved in securing the biggest Conservative majority since the 1980s.
The buoyant bluster for which Mr. Johnson is well known for was on full display the morning of his 2019 election victory, with an 80-seat majority in Parliament, the greatest amassed by a Conservative leader since Margaret Thatcher in 1987. Many predicted a comfortable decade in 10 Downing Street for Mr. Johnson, the most reliable vote-getter in British politics. Today, however, his bluster, just like his authority, is severely weakened, with many in his own party, like Sir Roger Gale, calling for his resignation.
Over a third, of the Parliamentary Party has expressed no confidence in the Prime Minister. A Prime Minister of honour would look at the figures, accept the fact that he has lost the support of a significant proportion of his party, and consider his position.
Johnson's winning margin is less than that secured by his predecessor Theresa May in a similar vote held in December of 2018. She was forced to resign 6 months later over a Brexit deadlock.
I will shortly leave the job that it has been the honour of my life to hold. The second female Prime Minister, but certainly not the last. I do so with no ill will, but with enormous and enduring gratitude to have had the opportunity to serve the country I love.
Shortly afterwards, Boris Johnson was sworn in as Prime Minister, leading the party to a thumping victory at the 2019 general election, riding high with one very clear campaign message.
And with this mandate and this majority, we will at last be able to do what? Paying attention. Let's get Brexit done and let's bring this country together. Thank you very much. And on Monday, MPs will arrive at Westminster to form a new parliament. And yes, they will have an overwhelming mandate from this election to get Brexit done, and we will honour that mandate.
And get it done he did, achieving his promise within months in a heavily criticised deal that analysts say left Britain's sovereignty vulnerable and weakened their economic standing. The other weakness it exposed was Mr. Johnson's. Beyond getting Brexit done, there seemed to be no clear ideology for his leadership, which in and of itself has often been plagued by scandal. Uproar over the expensive refurbishment of his apartment in Downing Street, funded by a Tory party donor, supply chain issues which he refuted were a result of Brexit, the damaging public feud with his former chief advisor, Dominic Cummings, and then, of course, came the COVID-19 pandemic. He was heavily criticised for his response, which was first slow and then lacklustre. More than 179,000 lives were lost to COVID-19 in the UK since the pandemic began in 2020.
I say again, no one regrets these measures more bitterly than I do, but we must take firm action now.
It was during the darkest days of the pandemic that the seeds of the Prime Minister's current troubles were sown. While the rest of the country was enduring stifling lockdowns, the PM and his top aides were taking part in social gatherings at Downing Street that violated their own lockdown restrictions. The first reports of what later became known as Partygate emerged late last November, prompting Mr. Johnson to issue a blanket denial that any laws had been broken. A subsequent police investigation found otherwise, leading Johnson to become the first ever British Prime Minister to be fined for breaking the law.
Firstly, I want to say sorry. And I'm sorry for the things we simply didn't get right, and also sorry for the way that this matter has been handled. And it's no use saying that this or that was within the rules, and it's no use saying that people were working hard. This pandemic was hard for everyone. We asked people across this country to make the most extraordinary sacrifices, not to meet loved ones, not to visit relatives before they died. And I understand the anger that people feel.
Then an independent report by civil servant Sue Gray, which investigated 16 different social gatherings inside Downing Street and other government buildings between May 2020 and April of 2021. The report highlighted excessive drinking, with staff being sick from inebriation and abuse of cleaning and security staff. All the while, warnings about parties breaking COVID rules were ignored. That culminated in 54 members of Johnson's own party writing to demand a vote on the PM's leadership. Hours ago, the Prime Minister faced the media to respond to what he called a good result.
A very good result for politics and for the country. Just in,
yes,
just I do. Just in this sense, I think it's a convincing result, a decisive result, and what it means is that as a government, we can move on and focus on the stuff that I think really matters to people.
Sorry, and let me. And your allies wanted her to go straight away. How is this different?
Look,
how can you possibly continue?
This is I've got a far bigger mandate from my own parliamentary colleagues, for instance, than I had in 2019, and I'm grateful to I'm grateful to colleagues. I'm grateful for the support that they've given me.
However, the PM's detractors, like Sir Roger Gale, believe Boris Johnson has only managed to delay the inevitable.
I would be surprised if this Prime Minister is still in number 10 Downing Street by the end of the autumn. There are significant problems just down the road. There are by-elections coming up. There is, after the summer, the report of the Privileges Committee. There are other very serious issues that have to be addressed by whoever is in number 10 Downing Street.
So you think the Prime Minister is going to go? It's just a question of when?
I think that's probably the case, yes. And I think the message that's been sent out by the Conservative backbench tonight is, frankly, much greater than I had expected and very telling indeed.
Tina Quinn, SBS News.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.